May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 1111. Jesus, thou alone canst save, thou canst raise the dead to life, thy reviving power I crave to decide this inward strife. 1111.
Thank you.
The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, See, thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, Go, and he goeth. And to another, Come, and he cometh. And to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marvelled, and said to them that followed, Verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marvelled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, There met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled, and went their ways into the city, and told everything, and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. May the Lord bless his word and help Dave in prayer.
Lord, do help us now to come humbly to thy footstool, confessing our unworthiness, that thou shouldest look upon us. Like that one of whom we have read, I am not unworthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. But Lord, we have a need. We have a need of the forgiveness of our sins, that thou wilt heal us of our backslidings, that thou wilt prepare us for a never-ending eternity, that we may be found with grace, the gift of God, eternal life in our hearts ere we come to die. And so, Lord, we pray with that one. Oh, but speak the word only, and thy servant shall be healed. O Lord, this is the great blessing we beseech of thee, that thou wilt receive us now, not for anything in us, for in us there dwelleth no good thing, but for thy name and thy mercy's sake, that thou wilt speak peace and draw us unto thee. Oh, that we might come to the footstool of mercy, before the mercy seat, pleading the blood that was before the mercy seat and on the mercy seat, to plead that Jesus may be our way to God, that we may find our all in him, that we may know him, that we may have the work of the Holy Ghost in our souls to reveal him to us as all our salvation and all our desire. O Lord, we do come with the words of the hymn we have sung. Oh, that we might fall before thee in humble confession of all our sin and iniquity. And Lord, hast thou shown us what we are? Has that light divine shone on this dark soul of mine? Hast thou shown us our awful departings from thee and from thy ways, and how we have an evil nature that says we will not have this man to reign over us? A nature that is defiled throughout by sin, and that by our very birth we are unclean. Oh, to sink in nothingness at thy feet, and look unto thee. Lord, let down into our souls, we beseech thee, the blessing of the Lord, which maketh rich, that free and sovereign gift of grace. Oh, that we might know that we are thine, born again of the Holy Ghost, given that divine life, led about and instructed, and that thou art keeping us as the apple of thine eye, to prepare us for a never-ending eternity. O Lord, O what departings we know in our souls from these things. O how we fall under the temptations of Satan and fear lest we have sinned away the day of grace and that we shall never be found in that last great and awful day at thy right hand. Oh, what fears. And yet, Lord, we cannot forget if thou hast shone within. There is that to look back to. Lord, we do not feel the savour and the power of it now, but we can never forget the days of the Son of Man when thou didst raise up a hope that thou hast died for us, that thou hast lived for us, that thy life has procured a righteousness which shall endure to all eternity and be imputed unto us. Oh, to be found among that number who are so found, clothed in white, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, do remember us then, Lord. Come, we beseech thee, speak to our souls. We long to hear thy lovely voice, to rejoice at thy presence, to know the power and unction and the light shed abroad in our hearts. O Lord, hast thou done it for us? Wilt thou do it again? Wilt thou make a beginning with those who have not known these things? Lord, it is a supernatural work. No reasonings of the mind will ever bring it. It must be a free, sovereign gift. So we come as beggars, and as the eyes of servants look unto the hands of their masters, so our eyes are up unto thee, O Lord. Wilt thou bestow this free gift, life, eternal life? Oh, we beseech thee, may not one soul here be left without this free gift, this great wonder of redeeming grace. So we pray now, wilt thou touch each heart, draw the affections unto thee. May there be many here that can say, give me Christ, or else I die. And wilt thou answer that petition? And if it might please thee, Lord, even this day, may there be something done in this house of prayer which shall endure to a never-ending eternity. We mourn that we do not have thy servant with us. Lord, thou hast seen fit to withhold him from us. We would bow before thy sovereign will. We would bow before the rod. O Lord, enable us to hear the rod. And who hath appointed it to come and say, Lord, have mercy still. O Lord, how often thou hast brought forth good from evil. We have proved it. Wilt thou do it now, O Lord, that thou wilt make this among one of thee all things that work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to thy purpose. Lord, remember us then. We pray thou wilt help our brother in reading the sermon. May it do good. May there be something in there that we can hang our hopes for eternity upon. May it be a word in season to many souls. May there be those things we can take away and plead before thee, Lord, as thou didst remember thy servant of old, as he did speak of these precious things, make them known to me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. And so we bow before thee now and ask that thou wilt remember all present, that thou wilt remember those who cannot be here. Oh, in mercy appear unto them and do them good also. May we be given real prayer, that thou wilt also bless souls who as yet know thee not. Those who pass by the chapel door and do not come in. Those that in the vicinity. Lord, wilt thou put in their hearts that aching void the world can never fill, that emptiness, so that they must turn in to see if the Lord will speak to them here. Lord, if thou wilt do it, it must be for thy honour and thy glory alone. We cannot work such a thing ourselves. Oh Lord, we ask now, remember those who are walking in trouble, in sorrow, in sickness, in deep distress. It may be feeling that they are losing their minds. Oh Lord, but thou art able to support under every trying load. And we do beseech thee, come now. Oh, that thy great glory might be revealed, and thy free grace, and thy sovereign power, and thy name be adored in our midst. We would pray for Zion still. Lord, Zion is in a low place, and it seems to get lower and lower. But do not take the candlestick of truth from among us, if thy holy sovereign will. Oh, may there yet be a remnant according to the election of grace in this our land. And those who are spared, oh, may we be given grace to honour thee, to declare whose we are and whom we serve, to be as a light in this dark and evil day. Oh, we would pray then for those who are over us, our Queen, our government and Parliament. Lord, if it might please thee, work mightily. Oh Lord, we cannot see how any good can come, but thou art over all. Grant us faith to believe that thou art able to do what we cannot believe or see. And Lord, it must be that we may glorify thy holy name. Oh, then enable us to give thanks for all those things that thou hast done for us. And we remember that thou hast spared to us the freedom to meet and worship. Thou hast given us thy holy word. Lord, all these things, they are good, and we thank thee for them. Oh, do now bless them, that they may be to our soul's good. We fall before thee and confess our unworthiness of the least of thy mercies. But thy word says, if we confess our sins, thou art faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We plead thy word, Lord Jesus. Hear us in heaven. Own us as thy people, we beseech thee. Oh, may we plead the wounds of Jesus as our hope of eternal life. We ask in thy dear name. Amen.
in 760. All sufficient is our Jesus, though our sins are black as hell. From pollution he can raise us, or from nature's deepest cell. He on Calvary cancelled all his people's sin. 760. You a sermon preached by my father-in-law, Mr. J. Opak. You will find the text in the chapter we read, Matthew chapter 8, verses 2 and 3. Matthew chapter 8, verses 2 and 3. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. It is significant that just before this leper came to Christ, towards the close of his Sermon on the Mount, the Lord had said, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. It is a solemn thing to use the name of the Lord. Do you ever tremble as you address God or Christ in prayer? Again we read that Christ said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" One is a contradiction of the other. But lest the Lord's people who do humbly, truly and sincerely address him as Lord should be discouraged and fearful of addressing God in that way, almost immediately we have two most encouraging cases before us. One the poor leper and the other the centurion. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." The connection in which the text stands is also significant. When he came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Many are called, many are attracted in some way or another to Christ. Many name the name of Christ. But the word says, "Let him that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper. One single, solitary soul. One who had a hard case, a difficult case, a poor outcast, a loathsome leper. One who should have refrained from entering into the company of others. But no, his case pressed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him. What this leper passed through in his soul we are not told, but there was faith in his heart. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not everyone that hears receives faith, but faith comes normally, shall I say, through that channel. It is God's own appointed means. Hence he uses the feeble instrumentality of his ministers in the work of proclaiming the gospel, by which faith, which is God's gift, is communicated to the hearts of those to whom the Lord is pleased to give it. But we read in the Hebrews of some who heard the word, "The gospel was preached unto them as well as unto us, but they did not profit." Why? Because of the word not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. This poor leper in his sad condition had heard of Christ. Doubtless he had heard of some of the cures he had effected and the cases he had met. And in spite of his wretched condition, in spite of that leprosy which should have kept him away from these people and at a distance from this great multitude, he must come and urge his claim through all unfitness. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." It is a great thing to use the word Lord. To rightly address God in this way, either as it applies to the Trinity in unity or each person in the Trinity. It is a very solemn thing to address God as Lord. It is an acknowledgement of our inferior condition. It is an acknowledgement that he is our Lord, that he is infinitely superior to us. And it is an acknowledgement that we owe to him our being, our life, and everything. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Worship. What a blessed thing is true spiritual worship. But oh, how different it is from what mere carnal professors imagine, or even the poor heathen think. You see, there is deeply rooted in the heart of mankind an idea of worship, that man ought to worship something or someone. And in this worship, natural man thinks he must bring something to his God, be it what it may, an idol, sun, moon or stars, for his acceptance. He thinks he must bring the best he has or can muster. We have been thinking of this case during the day, and our mind has turned to the case of Cain and Abel. There we have this truth set before us. The difference between true spiritual worship and that which is according to the flesh. Cain, being a husbandman, brought of the fruits of the ground, and he thought by that he would please God. Abel, in whose heart was the grace of faith, brought a lamb and offered that to God. And we are told in the Hebrews, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. Yes, that offering of Abel has been spoken of since the day that he offered it. This showed his belief in the promise that he doubtless had knowledge of, that was made to his parents in the garden. It showed that he knew the solemn truth that without shedding of blood, there could be no remission of sin. He brought a lamb and offered that to God, showing that his hope was not in the best that he could bring, but in the blood of the promised Redeemer, Christ, and he was accepted. Cain, on the other hand, was rejected. And now just look at this spiritually. I wonder how many of us this night have come here, as we have professedly, really, to worship God. What spirit have we come with? Have we come thinking we are fit to gather together in God's name? Are we pleased with ourselves for coming? Do we feel that we are doing God an honour? It is honouring to God to worship him in the assembly of his saints when we worship according to faith, but not when we think we are doing God a favour, as many do who gather together in professed worship of his name. Have we come like that? Have we come like Cain, bringing of our best? But then, bringing the case a little closer, have we come thinking that we're in a worshipping frame of mind? By nature, we are all so legal. Its threads run through the warp and the woof of our nature, so that we legalise even the blessings of the gospel and the gifts of grace if we are left to ourselves. Sometimes it is possible even for a child of God to feel, I will go to the house of God. I feel a little softness in my spirit, a little warmth in my heart. And he goes in the strength of that and thinks, surely it will be well with me tonight, and so looks forward to the service. And have not some of you been disappointed when you have gone to the house of God, thinking or feeling, I feel a little more fit for worship tonight. Not so carnal as I have been sometimes. My mind more set upon the things of God. A little warmth in prayer. I have felt a little sweet meditation. I say, if we come to the house of God in that way, we are coming more in the spirit of Cain than that of Abel. Then again, there may be some here tonight who have come just the opposite. You feel your hearts like steel, feel no love to the Lord, feel carnal, feel such a great sinner, feel unfit to meet with God's people, unfit to gather together in his name. Yes, you may feel unfit for worship, and unfit for the Lord's people. Such a sight you may have been given, perhaps of your own wretchedness, and yet, like the poor leper, you come. Rather than having anything to commend yourself to the notice of the Lord, you feel there is everything otherwise. And so you come with just a spark of hope. Yes, there is a little hope, or you would not have come at all, living under the opposing weight of sin and guilt. You come feeling perhaps you may only hear your condemnation, feeling there can be nothing for you, saying with the apostle, "I am carnal, sold under sin." Well, I believe the latter character, if I know anything of worship, is in more of a worshipping frame of mind and soul. One who has sometimes gone to the house of God with a little softness upon one's spirit, feeling a warmth in one's heart, a little seclusion from the world, and feeling pleased with it all. When, could we but have examined this to the root, we should have found Pharisaism in it all. No, worship is not coming with anything in our hand. The poorer the wretch, the welcomer here. The viler you feel, the more difficult your case, the more welcome you are at the mercy seat. You see, this poor leper had nothing to commend himself to the Lord, nothing to bring before him, only running sores, a poor, vile wretch. But there was faith in his heart. He believed God could reach his case. He believed the Lord could change the scene and heal him. Are you in such a case as this, low as you are, wretched as your condition may be, feeling carnal and cold, no love to the Lord, yet you feel, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Thy word runneth very swiftly. Speak, Lord, and let me hear thy voice. Blot out my sins, break my rocky heart, warm my cold heart. I am destitute of good and feel full of all that is evil." There came a leper and worshipped him. O my friends, I affectionately warn you, beware of that old Pharisaic nature of yours that would bring something to the Lord, if it is only a soft heart or a little repentance. You see, all the blessed gifts and graces of the gospel come from Christ. We do not bring them to him. And when one is enabled to come to the Lord in faith, and in spite of all opposition, all Satan's accusations, and say, "Lord, bad as my case is, deep as my sores are, incurable as I am, yet if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." This is worship. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Yes, there was worship in his very address. He knew him as Lord, and he worshipped him in ascribing to him power to meet his case and to heal him. There is comfort in this truth for sinners. Maybe there are some here now who mourn on account of their sinnership, feeling their case so bad, and this gives rise to doubts and fears. But these do not arise from your limiting the power of Christ to help and save you, but from a sense of unworthiness, and as to whether the Lord will help you. It is not whether he can, but whether he will. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." I say, how different then is true worship from that of the world of professors in general. who think that they must bring of their best to the Lord, who think that worship consists in organs and choirs and all that is pleasing to the natural heart. That which is pleasing to man in that sense is an abomination in the eyes of the Lord God. But on the other hand, the poor, wretched, helpless sinner, fearing that all he can expect is condemnation from the Lord's lips, who comes, for he cannot help coming, feeling, I must pray, I must venture. If I stay away, I know I must perish. I can but perish if I go. I am resolved to try, for if I stay away, I know I must forever die. And the good hymn writer goes on, but if I die with mercy sought, when I the king have tried, this were to die delightful thought, a sinner never died. There came a leper to him. Examine yourselves, my friends. How have you come before the Lord this evening? Have you come like the poor leper? So far from having anything to commend yourself to the Lord, you feel in your heart to have everything to deserve his wrath. Yet these are they who worship him. Many are attracted to the name of Christ, or Christianity as they call it in these days, but they have not a case for the Lord. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And there is one other point we should like to look at concerning this leper. You know it was a spreading disease. It was a disease that was deeper than the skin. Mere superficial cure was of no help at all. It must be a complete cure. The Lord's people find an ever-deepening sense of their sinnership before God. Perhaps some of you, after you have felt something of the Lord's healing power in your hearts, have been astonished to find that sin breaks out again, fresh shores show themselves, and you have feared that after all you were deceived. So long as we are in this tabernacle, we shall be leprous. We must not expect final healing here. No, we shall often have to come to the Lord under a fresh sense of what we are in his sight. But this does not invalidate what the Lord has done for us. If the Lord has once been pleased to speak to you and to heal you, and you have felt the sweets of sin forgiven, whilst you will have to feel as long as you're in the body this terrible plague of leprosy and its incurable nature, you will find at last that this healing was a perfect cure. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Immediately. This is a blessed feature of the Lord's dealing with his people. You may be feeling at one moment as bad as sin and Satan can make you. Yes, you feel your desperate condition. It may be that the Lord sees fit to plunge you again and again into the ditch until your own clothes abhor you. But let the Lord speak to you or touch you, and immediately the scene will be changed. Oh, how blessed are those changes when felt in the soul. Who can adequately describe them? One minute the soul may be tormented, hanging the head before God in shame and self-abhorrence, ready to despair, groaning for mercy, yea, with cries and groans which cannot be uttered, that is, feelings which can never be adequately expressed in words. But the Holy Spirit knows what is contained in them. He sees them, for it is his work. It is the language of Zion. The Holy Spirit interprets it before the mercy seat, before the throne of God. and then perhaps the Lord speaks some word to the poor self-condemned wretch, brings a word like this into his heart, "I will, be thou clean." Or it may be that he will say, "Thou art all fair, my love, there is no spot in thee." He will apply with power his precious sin-atoning blood, and then you will sing. Yes, beauty is given for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. You may say, what is it to feel the application of that blood? It is almost unutterable. I remember at one such time singing in my heart, "Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more." You will know what the application of it is by the effects it will produce in the soul. Now, instead of those terrible despairing thoughts and all that slavish fear and guilt that has filled your poor mind, all that darkness and distance from God, in a moment, all these things being taken away, you feel sweet access to the Lord. Now you can sit at his feet as dear Mary. You sit there and receive his words, and you would not leave that place if you could help it. You tell the Lord that you could sit there and sing your soul away to everlasting bliss. Then again, sometimes you are troubled because you find the love of sin will return powerfully into your heart, and you feel, surely no child of God ever feels the love of sin in his heart as I do. But when the Lord touches your soul afresh with his precious blood, do you love sin then? Do you not hate it with a perfect hatred? Is not your one desire to be freed from it? Do you not then look forward to that happy moment when, freed from your cumbrous clay and body of sin and death, you will never, never sin, there from the rivers of his grace drink endless pleasures in? Instead of all that slavish fear your poor soul has laboured under, there will now be perfect love in all its sweetness. You cannot know its fullness here. Our poor little earthen vessels cannot hold much of the love of God here. Another of the sacred effects of the application of the blood of Christ is that where there has been distress, darkness, and bondage in prayer, now sweet access is gained. Yes, you will feel sensible access into the holiest of holies by the blood of Jesus, that new and living way that he has consecrated for you. And whereas it has been a labour to utter a few sentences in prayer, and your prayers have been cold, and you have felt lifeless altogether, now you simply pour out your soul in confession. You make known to the Lord all your requests. You look back to eternity that is past and feel a sweet confidence that your name was set down in life's fair book. And you look forward to eternal joys which you believe are laid up in heaven for you. And yet at the same time you will feel that all is too great and too good for you, and you will sink again at the Lord's feet, saying, why me, O blessed God? Why such a wretch as me, who must forever lie in hell, were not salvation free? These, I believe, are some of the effects of the application of the sin-atoning blood of Christ. And I believe, too, you will feel more than this. Whilst yet painfully conscious of your sinnership and confessing it at the footstool of Jesus, yet you will feel that you are holy, not in any holiness or righteousness of your own, but holy as the Holy One, as you stand forgiven and complete before God in the imputed righteousness of Christ. Now you will see a beauty and a harmony in God's plan of salvation. You will admire those unfathomable depths of the wisdom and knowledge of God. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped. Yes, I believe, my friends, there is far more worship in our poor hearts when we are deeply mourning our wretchedness and our unfitness for God, or even to mingle among his people, than when we think we are getting a little better. When sin lies quiet and we are not plagued so much with our wicked hearts, but feel a little softness in our spirits, we begin to think that we shall see war no more, that our enemies are vanquished. But oh, how dangerous are these seasons. Depend upon it, if we are the Lord's children, he will bring us again under a sense of our sin and wretchedness to loathe ourselves at his feet. One other point we want to notice very briefly. The leper had a single eye to Christ. Yes, a single eye. He lost sight of the multitude. Most, if not all of them, had no case like his. His one aim and object was to get to the Lord Jesus, to that blessed man that heals poor lepers, forgives sinners, that raises the dead. He, who is the friend of sinners, that was his one aim. And when you have a case, when you feel your leprous state, the vileness of your heart, Christ will be the one object before you. You will come creeping into the assembly of God's people, not concerned so much about seeing or being seen, but you will want to get a glimpse of Christ. You will want to feel his healing power. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Yes, it is worship. Worship when we dwell so low. Worship when we ascribe to the Lord power and ability to meet our wretched case. It is pleasing in his eyes. May the Lord bless a few remarks.
Collections last Lord's Day were £685, for which we're very thankful. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Robert Field, who is also expected to preach on Tuesday evening. And God willing, Mr. Ian Sadler will preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday school in the afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service, in place of the Lord's Supper this evening, which we could not hold. Let us close with hymn 789. O ye sons of men, be wise, trust no longer dreams and lies. Out of Christ, almighty power can do nothing but devour. Hymn 789.
services here. The services to Lord, do grant my blessing. May we take these things home and think of them. Lord, thou knowest how we each come to worship. Thou knowest the hearts of each one. As we come, Lord, may we come with nothing in my hand, Lord, simply to thy cross, would you? Oh Lord, do bless the services today, to give anything to the sins. Do be with us as we part. Lord, do go before us and come in. Undertake for us, keep us safe, watch over us. Grant that health and strength. Lord, as we hope to gather on tomorrow evening, if I may, do grant us, Lord, real come out of thy servant, we hope to him. Lord, to be with him and give him that to bring before us. So, Lord, to go before each one through the world, undertake for us. Oh, do keep us from grieving. Lord, do watch over us. Be with us now as we part. Lord, do undertake for us. We ask it for Jesus Christ, now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Ghost.